I'm Christian Abbott.
I'm Nathan Lavender.
I'm Sean Abbott.
And this is the Red Mist Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the Red Mist Podcast, Season 4, Episode 7. The 1993, number 7, Hooters, Ford Thunderbird, of Alan Kulwicki. Your 1992 NASCAR champion.
There you go.
There you go.
That's why you wanted Nate here.
Yeah, that's why I wanted Nate here.
Yeah.
Well, he would appreciate it. Anyways. All right, moving on. On tonight's episode, we'll discuss NASCAR in Sin City. IMSA. I like to call it the track too tough to tame, but folks in NASCAR will take exception to that. At the 12 hours of Sebring. And then we will discuss the Formula One season opener in Melbourne. G'day, mate. No wallabies were harmed. Ha ha. Let's start with NASCAR, Christian. It was in an uneventful race.
Was it really uneventful?
Well, except for the winner was the shock. Mm-hmm. Christopher Bell's 3-race streak came to an end. Feel so bad for him. However, qualifying for the chase and this team's second appearance in the chase in 2 years, same number of time, Josh Berry in the Wood Brothers, number 21 Ford.
All right.
Very good. Well done by Josh. Followed home by Daniel Suarez, Ryan Pace, William Byron, Ross Chastain. So Trackhouse had a 2-5 finish going with two of their three cars. Then we had Austin Cindric, who was competitive all day. Alex Bowman, the Dinger, followed by Young Money, who was very busy all week because he was also doing doing high limits racing all week. Chase Elliott in 10th. Oh, and Bad Brad just missed out.
Bad Brad just... Oh, okay.
Yeah, not a good weekend for SVG. He unfortunately spun and broke something, so the car did not go further. Mm-hmm. As I said, the race was very just uneventful from my perspective. There were a lot of tire... I shouldn't say a lot, but there were a significant amount of tire issues where, you know, guys lost, like, right rears, which was a little weird. The biggest one being penalized by that was definitely Kyle Busch, because he had a strong car going, and then just, you know, it didn't turn out well. Danny had an issue. Just an uneventful race. It was, you know, a solid race. Unfortunately, you know, we had the stages, which kind of interrupted it, but overall, fun race. Congratulations to Josh Berry and the Wood Brothers.
Yeah, good stuff.
All right, next week we move on to Homestead, Miami.
Yes.
Where I think the finale should be. But
yes, yeah, so does everyone else.
So does everyone else. All right. Still, I think still too early to recap the points at this point. I think we'll we'll get a few more races in. We'll wait till after we'll get to the Goodyear. What's the Goodyear for? Is that Darlington? Oh, let's wait till we get to Bristol, mid April, and we'll start looking at the points. Because the win and end thing just is, you know, just kind of wrecks it. So
yeah.
All right. Okay. Let's move on to shall we discuss IMSA?
Yeah. I unfortunately didn't get to watch a whole lot of it.
Running
around last weekend, but I mean, from watching some of the recap video that NBC puts out, it looked like it was just BMW, Acura, and Porsche the entire race, more or less. Like those seemed really well balanced, and they were able to all go at it pretty evenly, which is great. And then in GTD Pro, BMW and Paul Miller was just up at the front for pretty much all of it. Rexy and the Porsche was going well too, and the Corvettes, they fall off towards the end.
Yes, or? they had issues. Okay. However, on this show last week, the Rexy came through with the win in GTD Pro. As called by me. However, in GTD, Rape Motorsports finished fifth. So I didn't get the Porsche sweep.
Yeah.
But Wynwood Racing, who I, you know what, in the back of my mind, I was going to pick these guys. They came through with the win. I was like, damn it!
Yeah, no, that's a good run for them.
Yeah, it was. Lexus finished second in GTD with Maldacavo, Parker Thompson, and Jack Hawksworth. Did not have the same result in GTD Pro. The Mustangs, they finished, but they were out to lunch. It just proves the Mustangs just not super good on a super bumpy track like that. They did. Let's put it this way: they drove to survive, and they survived.
Yeah,
finished fifth and sixth, so good for them. Corvette kind of sank back after a strong run up front with two cars, and finished seventh. And then the other one finished ninth in class. So overall, tough weekend for factory Corvette team, and for the Corvette team for both DXDT and AWA in GTD. It's just not a good weekend there. So tough one. Another tough weekend in GTP Pro for the Lamborghini squad. Ran 256 laps and then dropped out. The other, like I said, the two BMWs really, I think, set the pace early, but the Magnussen car ran into trouble and then just kind of rebounded back from that. So finished 12th in class. So that was too bad there. In GTD Pro, we had a minor mishap on a pit exchange. I don't know if you saw this, Christian. James Hinchcliffe, in exiting the car and doing a driver change, had the car dropped on his foot.
Yeah, not fun.
Not fun. I bet you that was quite a surprise.
Yeah.
But, you know, Rexy prevailed in GTD Pro, so good on those guys. LMP2. What happened? My guys did not have it. Hold on, scroll them down. My guys. I thought the Aero Motorsports guys were going to rebound. They lasted a total of 37 laps. I'm like the biggest curse. Oh, Jesus. I don't know what I got to do there. But congrats went to Inter-Europol? Do we get our... where's our Polish guy down there?
Matt.
Yeah. So they took the class win ahead of, and I, Christian, I think this was the team you picked, Tower Motorsports.
Did I?
With Seabass? I can't remember. Did you write down?
No, I didn't write any of these. That's kind of where I was like, I don't even remember doing this. Some of my notes were kind of half finished last week too, unfortunately.
Oh, I gotcha.
I got the F1 well, piece, and that's about it.
The Tower Motorsports finished second, and TDS Racing, who was our pole sitter, finished third. So congrats to those guys. The Riley team finished fourth. And then our Daytona winners came in fifth. So
yeah.
And as we move to the top, Nick Tandy continues on his dominant streak of cleaning up in the world's endurance classics, adding Sebring to the list. So good on him. So could he? So now he's got Daytona, Sebring, right? So that leaves, now I don't know if he's running at Spa this year for the 24. But let's just say he runs there, wins there. He could go for the, you know, the Grand Slam in 1 year by taking Le Mans.
Yeah, that would be super impressive if that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, on top of just skill, like, it also takes a lot, an extreme amount of luck too with these races. And
right,
if you can be fortunate enough to have it all come together, and especially in a within such a short time frame as well, because I mean, there's definitely guys that have been waiting years and years and years and sometimes never get it.
Yep.
No matter how good that they are and through every other race, but yeah, no, it's definitely,
no, you're right,
definitely a high how do I want to put this, it's a very highly regarded resume that he's putting together.
He's getting rarefied air,
and it's
definitely,
yeah,
I mean, he's unfortunately not going to have, you know, he's not going to have the Tom Christensen, Jackie Ickx, Derek Bell type number of Le Mans wins.
Right.
Overall.
Which,
I mean, still, but his resume in endurance races is damn impressive.
Yeah. I mean, he's covering the endurance races that he has. I mean, it's about as dominant of a sports car driver you've seen.
There is one missing major from his resume.
Which one is that?
That is the 24 hours VW Fun Cup at 25 hour VW Fun Cup at Spa.
I thought you were gonna say the 25 hours of
Thunderhill. Oh, that is missing too. We would like, yeah, you could add that to it.
Yeah.
I have to say this. I have to say that the guys at Proton and JDC Miller, now they're privateer teams. The Proton guys finished sixth on the same lap as our winners. And then the JDC guys finished one lap behind on the tail of the number 10 Cadillac from Wayne Taylor Racing. So, you know, again, I gotta applaud those guys. Also need to applaud Aston Martin and the Valkyrie, which finished two laps down at Sebring. In theory, at Daytona, which is far less stressing a track, There's a high probability they could have finished on the lead lap if they were at Daytona.
Yeah.
Assuming they finished. Based on the pace that they were showing. To only be down two laps in the car's debut is pretty impressive.
Yeah, no, definitely. it was great to see him out there. And I mean, it just kind of gets back to our point of like, I really wish they just came and ran Daytona. And
yeah, I know.
Regardless of their outing, and you know what, if it would have even been something like this at Sebring, where if you're just off the pace, like you're off the pace, but you know, if you get all the running right. in, then it's fine. Because I mean, Daytona was a high attrition rate race, so I mean, they probably, if they didn't have any issues and it went pretty smooth, like they were gonna have a really good finish, regardless of how it all went.
I mean, so just, you know, kind of in the top 10 was all GTP cars. Just trying to scroll through here. Okay, then the next one that was there was the 40 car of Wayne Taylor Racing. They finished 18th overall and 11th in class. And then the Lambo went out. So out of the 12 cars, you know, the Valkyrie finished 8th. You know? I'm sorry, finished 9th. That has to be a success, especially at Sebring.
Right. And you even said that they're going to go testing.
Yes. So it wasn't just them, but several afterwards. Several teams stayed over at Sebring this week, and the Acuras are there. The Aston's there, and I think a few other teams stayed. So,
yeah.
I think proving that, you know, any time you can spend at the big track at Sebring can help you down the road. So, that was impressive. BMW just a tad snake bit here. But showed pace. So I felt comfortable with my pick. Shank with the Acura is just, they're on fire right now. So, I think in the shorter races, I think they're probably going to be the team to beat. That's just my opinion. I think it's going to be them and BMW. I think the Porsche just has longer. I think the Porsche is, better over the long haul. But I think in the short sprint races, I don't think it's as good, because I just don't think the car is as quick in qualifying. You know.
Right.
So. All right. It's exciting.
Did you get any of the support races? Like I said, I didn't get to watch much, so my homework for this week is to try and catch up on that.
I caught the Lambo race on Thursday. I caught the two Mustang Challenge races, and as I told you, those races were great. It was fun. I mean, the thing I like about that class, like I like about the Super Trofe, the Lambo class, and the Porsche. They have different classes within the race for different drivers, so there's different battles going on, and they're actually, when they dig down to it and go to those battles, it's quite impressive, you know, where you got like the over 50, you know, the over 40 guys or the over 50 guys, whatever they call them. Then you have the, you know, kind of amateur but not the pro guys and things like that. So overall, I thought those are good. The Mustang race is an etchy. That's probably the next step up from Mazda, you know, MX-5, to go to the Mustang and run there. So, I mean, you know, there was some guys that were definitely learning, but overall, I thought it was a good race. Riley Dickinson came back after a year off in the Porsche Cup races and swept in the gold class. So good on him, or whatever they call it. I don't know, supercar gold, whatever the high class. So he basically started on pole both races, and within two laps had a 4-second lead. So it was pretty cool. I did not see the second Porsche Cup race. I I saw it. I didn't catch the whole race. I just saw the end with Dixon one, but I guess midway through the race, it was a little bit of carnage with three or four cars involved. So that kind of stacked the field a little bit, but then Dixon drove away, because it gave him the opportunity to cool the tires. So that was there. And like I said, I didn't catch the pilot challenge race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
plenty of stuff. There was a lot. There was a lot going on, and then you're trying to fit it into if you had plans over the weekend and stuff. It was tough.
Right. Yeah. That was, that was just the thing.
I think this is like the first year we really didn't sit down and be able to watch the 12.
Last year probably.
We were skiing, right?
No. No, we were partying.
We were at the wedding.
Yeah.
We were watching it at the wedding.
She
was able to catch the recap. This year, I wasn't able to catch the recap. I just tried. I caught that. Whatever I missed, I ended up catching via the highlight show. So.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate IMSA putting out so quickly. I also have to just say, moving some of their races to the IMSA channel on YouTube, fantastic. You get, in some instances, you get, pretty much you get the IMSA broadcast team, which is great. For the Super Trofeo race, you get Brian Till, and who did he have with him this year? Because I know in the Ford race they had Hindoff and Joey Hand sat in. Joey Hand was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Forget.
Yeah.
Oh, Ryan Marine sat in with Brian Till on that. So that was good. So it was, like I said, it was a lot of racing over the weekend with that series. So good stuff there. All right, let's. All right, next up, Long Beach.
Yes, that's gonna be. April what?
April 12th.
All right.
5 to 7 p.m. Eastern. So that's two to four on the West Coast. That's in amidst a busy weekend of racing at Long Beach with the Indy cars and et cetera. So that should be quite fun.
Yeah, the IMSA race will be on Saturday, and then the Indy car race on Sunday.
On Sunday, yep. And then there's a whole bunch of other stuff going on in between. So
mm-hmm.
I think, isn't SRO there too?
Probably. And then
Super Trucks. I mean, the Jumpy Trucks.
Yeah, probably the Jumpy Trucks as well.
Jumpy Trucks. Is there, and I don't, is there's no, and I think there's a Super Cup race that weekend.
Hold on. We're checking it out.
I'm checking. Going to the Super Cup website.
Thursday, nothing's going on. Friday, there is GT America, so SRO.
No.
There's
a
historic formula exhibition.
Oh, nice.
Friday morning.
Is there SRO?
I'm sorry. Yes, SRO. It's called GT America.
Right.
Stadium Super Trucks are there.
Mm-hmm.
IndyCar. And then late late at night.
They have the drift.
Is Super Drift.
The drift. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so it's
that's a packed weekend there. Porsche goes to Miami next, May 2nd and 4th.
Yes, with the F1 weekend.
Oh, is that one? Oh, that's the F1. You know what the track's called?
The Miami one?
Yeah.
It's like Miami International Autodrome or something like that.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Looking at this going, oh, they're not at Homestead? And then I'm like, what the hell is it? And then you're like, oh, yeah, that's right. So they run, their next two races are both Formula One race weekends. Miami and then Circuit Gilles Villeneuve.
Jeez.
And then they come back and finish up at Circuit of the Americas at the end of the season, Formula One. And that's after, that's crazy because that's right after Road Atlanta.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a pretty damn impressive schedule because then they got Watkins Glen. Oh my God. They go to some good tracks. Road America, Indianapolis, and Road Atlanta. Good stuff there.
Schedule definitely doesn't stink.
No.
Although I'm perusing my calendar and I'm noticing F1 and Le Mans is on the same weekend, so that's a little disappointing.
Yeah. Yeah,
whatever. Wait, and there's an IndyCar race that weekend?
Where?
On Le Mans weekend.
Oh, is there? Yeah, there is, because some of the guys can't go. That's why Newgarden can't go.
God, that is disappointing.
Does IMSA just have everything under their banner? Like, Ford. Next round for the Lamborghinis. Then they go to Watkins Glen, Road America, Indianapolis. And then the finals are at Misano. That's a 6-race series.
Yep. Wow.
That's pretty. You could run that series, Porsche and Mustang. You know, if you for the probably the cost that it could run you a Michelin pilot thing. I would enjoy going to, you know, the world finals.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Okay. So closes out our IMSA recap. Let's move on to Formula Uno. Formula One.
Formula One.
From Melbourne?
Yes. Everything was upside down, even my TV screen.
Was it?
Yeah.
The weather was upside down on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, the rain was going up.
Yes, it was raining. I think the only surprise of the weekend was Piastri putting the car off. You know, when he was following Lando.
Yeah. I thought that was probably the funniest moment of the race.
Do you think that was just like he's following, and then he realized that he went off and he was off too?
Probably, and also the fact that Oscar definitely seemed to have the pace over Lando. And I think he was just thinking, you know, I'm going to make it stick no matter what, because,
yeah,
he can. It was definitely clear that McLaren is the team. Max and Red Bull can stick there. I didn't catch all of qualifying, so I didn't see the reason why Lawson didn't put it up there, other than he just didn't put the lap together, basically.
So he had a problem on the first lap. He put the car off wide, and then the second run, he was pushing hard and overshot the corner.
Okay, and then...
And basically, that's what killed him.
Right, but then that was also after practice 2 and 3?
Where he
had to sit out. So...
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Like, bad optics and, you know, forum, so it's not the way you want to start, but...
No.
Just see how it goes. Surprise out of qualifying, Yuki. Great job. Yeah. I think I said this in some of our preview predictions for the season that
Williams
is here to play.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, they had the incident with Sainz was a mechanical issue.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking it was.
So and the same for Jack Doohan. It was a car issue.
Yeah.
So apparently the way these things work in the rain, it's a little more quirky than when they're in the dry. And you know, I think these teams thought they dialed back the how the torque gets laid into the car, and it didn't. You know, it needed to be more.
Mm-hmm.
Hadjar, I mean, I feel bad, but that was completely driver error. You know,
I also didn't stay up for the race, and when I don't do that and go to the replay, I literally just go right to the start. So I didn't even realize
I mean, he came around the corner, put the tire right on the paint and went to step on the gas and then went right around, snapped around.
Yeah. I mean, there was plenty of that throughout the weekend. So it's a fine line, but you know.
Nate just gave his opinion on thermal.
Yep.
But I mean, I'm not surprised by the result, but
the race
in terms of who won and that.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't have a feel for where Mercedes is. I just think their car was better in the rain than most.
I think Mercedes played it safe on the strategy and didn't take any chance, and it just paid off because they let others make mistakes. That's
right.
That's all it was there.
No, I agree there.
And by that, taking that route, very, very well done, and that puts him second, but tied for first in the Constructors' Championship. So if McLaren says that they're not going to be the strongest car at every race, then this is a really good team result for Mercedes.
Yeah.
So that was good on them.
From a team result, couldn't have been any more disastrous for Red Bull. Can't be having this. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think if Lawson doesn't get it together within five races, they're swapping him and Yuki.
Yeah, but I mean, then this gets back into this whole. I'm gonna probably say that most of this direction is helmet driven, because he's the one that's just very vocal about it all.
Yeah, no, but this is just my opinion. That's just my opinion. My feeling is. I'm not liking what I'm hearing out of Alpine with Doohan and Flav the Blab down there. I'm not a big fan of that. Because I'll be honest with you, Carlo Pinto, he started off fine. And then, kind of just he turned into Logan Sargeant, wrecking cars.
Right.
You know, towards the end of the season. And I mean, wrecking them in big ways.
Yeah. But the other thing too is with saying this looks bad for Red Bull and Liam. Like, I mean, if just looking at the results, just at face value, Hadjar, Lawson, Doohan, and Bortoleto. That's four of your six rookies retired, and then Behrman finished last car running. Granted, Haas was nowhere near to be seen that weekend.
Yeah,
but. Again, not great there. Antonelli was the only one that shined out of all of it because he did nothing and just was in the right place at the right time.
Pretty much
got up there, played it.
Yep.
He definitely didn't have a good qualifying and made up for it in the race with this result.
But I think you're right. I agree.
It's like It's Australia. It's a hectic race. Like the stat that I saw was that the past 3 years, there was always like three guaranteed, or I'm sorry, there was 17 finishers of each of the last 3 or 4 years. So this year, I wasn't surprised, you know, with when you put in six rookies, rain, and your first real go at the car. Like, it's...
Yeah.
This race has always had some of the most stellar incidents because it's just the first time out with the car at full blast. And then... where was I going with this? Historically, it's just a, oh my gosh, can't think of the word. it's a race of attrition more often than not. Whenever there's races where there's one, maybe two DNFs from the race, like that's a really good race for Australia, just because it's a hard track. And it punishes you. So I think this is kind of one of those races where everybody gets one. And I mean, honestly, the biggest shock out of this whole race for me was the crash from Fernando.
Yeah.
I was really not expecting that at all.
Yeah.
If anything, I was expecting it to be the other Aston. So,
yeah.
But I mean, to that point, I mean, congrats to Lance on a sixth place finish. Like, very good points for him for a first race. So I don't know how many more moments he'll have like that throughout the season. But I mean, you got to take it when you can. And I mean, just to keep going through the results, Albon, great finish in fifth. Hulkenberg, great finish in seventh. I mean, the fact that Hulkenberg has solo outscored Ferrari.
Yeah.
In a Sauber.
Right.
Yeah. I mean...
Well, you got him points.
Right.
You know?
Right. I mean, every... No. I'll take that back. Not every team scored. Alpine didn't score. Racing Bulls didn't score. And Haas did not score. So, right. I mean, 7 out of 10 teams right now have points. And Pierre was in the top 10. Yuki was in the top 10. Haas, I got to say, I really was not expecting them to be this far back. But I guess brand new driver lineup, like, should it have been more obvious? Who knows?
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, I think there's a lot. It's a tough race to, kind of get a feel for where we all are. Because had the race been dry, I think it would have just been more processional type thing. Because it's a very difficult track to pass on. So unless guys are making mistakes, it's super fast, but. And it's not the fault of the track. At qualifying, it's an awesome track. It's just racing wise, it's average, you know.
Well, and it gets back to the
cars being too big.
Yeah, the cars are massive. I mean, I know, like, you can fast forward this and just go to Monaco, but I mean, like, really, like, I watched. What was it, the 2002 or 2003 Monaco Grand Prix, the other last month? And, I mean, look, first off, it was great just listening to the cars go around the track. That was awesome.
I agree.
And then also, like, the first 10, 20 laps, Montoya got a good start, but the car was not the fastest on race pace, so you had, like, the top four or five, like, on top of one another the whole time. Obviously back then to the second point of this, the cars were much narrower and shorter too, so I mean, like, you could actually make a pass if you wanted to, which there were moves like that, because when there were pit stop cycles and guys going past some back markers and whatnot, like,
right,
yeah, it was, you know, back markers, but I mean, you could make a move and not flinch,
yeah,
or really hesitate about even doing any of that crap, and you didn't have to tell the back marker like get out of the way or anything. Like, no, you could just make the move.
Right.
So yeah, for as close as the competition is right now in F1, to some extent, it's the cars just need to go down in size, and unfortunately, I don't think that'll happen until either they take out the hybrid unit or they move away from this. Oh, it's got to have, you know, elements of road going cars in the F1 car kind of philosophy.
Gotcha.
Because they made that mistake with the tires. They did. I don't think they needed to increase the tire size just to make it look like you have wheels that are on your car. And then, yeah, does Aero need to slim down now? I guess, but they can. That's something that's always been hotly contested over these past few years. I think they'll be able to find a good balance. And I mean, even with this latest rules change, they've opted to go more of the ground effects direction. So
yeah,
like clearly they're not closing the door on that. So I think they can still do some good work of trying to steer away from airflow over the car and utilize that under tray. But
right,
it all in all, the wheelbase and track width need to come down, and the weight of the car needs to come down too. These cars are sluggish compared to some of the other cars. Like I really miss seeing the quick change of direction. I mean, these ones can change direction, but it's because they're massive. Like they can handle the weight, but it's not what it looks like.
What it used to look like. Right.
Yeah.
Right. So anyway, so we'll go to China next.
Yes.
Lando lead points. Because it's last year was the first time back in a while, so I gotta really kind of get a feel for this track again. But that'll be this weekend, so kind of that's nice. We have back to back, so get the Formula One thing rolling. We also have IndyCar this weekend at Thermal. I got nothing to say about this race. I mean, last year it was just an exhibition race. This year now it's an actual race, and you know, you can't have a real crowd there. And the track's just. Not a fan.
Yeah.
With that being said, though, we shall persevere on and make our picks.
Yes.
Shall we start? Let's start with IndyCar.
Yeah.
Are we just picking the winner?
Winner and Dark Horse.
Dark Horse.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm gonna go Herta.
You on Herta?
Yeah, 2 weeks in a row. I'll go Herta. I know he had some misfortune in that last race, but
that's all
right. Am I really gonna discount Pelot again?
Are you discounting both Pelot and Dixon?
Well, that was the other thing. I mean, I wanted to go Dixon, but I just want to pick a team other than Ganassi, because I think Dixon could do well here. Had he not had that radio issue, then he would have won the race. I'm only saying Herta to win because the track looked pretty bumpy compared to a street course.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only reason why, but I also know that that's probably not the best judgment to go on, because I can just look up the results from last year, and that probably should be a better indication of who was actually fastest. And wasn't Pato the quickest there?
Yeah.
So hopefully they'll be able to put it together.
Yep.
But that's kind of tough to say, because they've been having a rough time lately. So, oh no, Pello dominated the last couple of races. All right. So Herta, and then I'll go with Rosenquist as my dark horse.
Rosenquist is like that. Okay, I'm going to go... I'm going to go Scotty Mac.
All right.
And for my dark horse... I'm going to go Rossi.
Good pick as well.
Thank you.
Nate has gone Pello. And his dark horse is VK.
Oh, I like that.
So.
Okay. All right. We got some good... I think overall we got some good picks there.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to China. And what does Nate say?
Nate goes for a Lando back-to-back win, Max back-to-back second, and he's gone for Leclerc in third.
Ooh, he's looking for a Ferrari bounce back.
Yeah. And then okay. Sainz is his dark horse.
Sainz is his dark horse.
Very good pick.
Very good pick there. All right. You want me to go?
Yeah, you can go.
I am going to go... Piastri, Lando, Max.
Alrighty, and a dark horse.
And my dark horse, I'm going to go Sainz as well.
Alright, same top two as you. I'll go Piastri, Lando for 1-2.
Oh, I like that. Yep.
I'm going to go Leclerc for third. I think Ferrari does... come back a little bit on this one, although again I'm discounting Max for second week in a row, and he'll probably end up being up at the front somehow. And then I'll take the other Williams and go Albon.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I mean,
all right. So we got some good picks here.
Good picks, all pretty much the same
idea. Yeah. Some different things, I think.
So.
My expectation is Oscar's going to be hungry, so that's why I'm going.
Yeah, yeah.
With Oscar.
Especially with the pace he was showing at Melbourne when he was catching Lando. It's very... Yep. It's very enticing to see.
Yeah. All right. Well, hopefully, I also like to see Lewis bounce back. Unfortunately, he found out all about Ferrari and their strategy.
The highlight for me was Leclerc's radio.
Oh, the we have a leak or something.
Yeah, is there a leak? There's water. Mm. Yes, water. We think it's water.
Yeah. Oh man. Anyways.
Lewis's was just hard to yeah. listen to, because he was like, don't
yeah.
repeat. Don't repeat. And yep. what do they do? Repeat.
Repeat, yep.
Just remember, you got K1 available. Use K1.
Yep. Anyways. All right.
Oh, wait, didn't... No, there was another one. It was like, the car's not rotating. Have you tried steering?
No, they didn't say that, did
they? Yeah, they did. It's like our
Jesus age. Oh, Bell. Freaking clown show. It really is.
On the plus side, Rocket Powered Mohawk is live.
What?
The Rocket Powered
Mohawk. Oh, no. He is alive. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Oh, I thought you meant he had a live show.
Oh, no.
And I was if I missed that, I'm going to... I did catch that. And I haven't laughed that hard in forever. And
since he just put out a video.
Oh, God. It's just fantastic.
Good old show.
All right. And on that note...
Good night.
Thank you guys for listening to the Redness Podcast, hosted by Christian Abbott, Sean Abbott, and Nathan Lavender. It's produced by Christian Abbott, and music is by Alex Wart and Harrison Tate.